Hello there, this is Sheila Hummel and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Thank you for joining us on Auckland Hospital Radio and welcome to all our listeners, especially those in our local hospitals. Today is Remembrance Sunday, when formal services will be held all over the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland to commemorate the contribution of British and Commonwealth military and civilian service men and women in all conflicts since the start of the First World War. My theme today is also remembrance. When my father died in 1969, I began writing copious notes and poems on cancer to try and get rid of the anger, the sense of loss and frustration that I felt then. I must have been trying to get my grief out of my system. In preparing this programme on remembrance, I found I was doing exactly the same thing, not with the word cancer, but with the word war, writing page after page on the utter horror of its effects on the lives of countless millions of people, soldiers and civilians, friends and foe throughout the world. It is right, it is essential, to remember them all and to honour the courage of those who've paid the ultimate sacrifice, laying down their lives for others. We owe it to those who can no longer tell their story. An American poet and writer called Eve Merriam once said, "I dream of giving birth to a child who will ask, 'Mother, what was war?'" Here is a hymn which says, "Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways." That second verse there says, "In simple trust like theirs who heard beside the Syrian sea the gracious calling of the Lord, let us like them without a word rise up and follow thee." It reflects the words of our reading for the day from Mark's Gospel, where Jesus at the beginning of his ministry came preaching good news and repentance. I'm reading from chapter 1, verses 14 to 20. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. This call of Jesus was a clarion call to a better life of hope and truth and peace and promise and freedom and repentance. Follow me, he was saying. Do as I do. I can show you a better way. Then you can teach others. Now the consequences of the call to take up arms and go off to war takes us in quite the opposite direction and leads many to question whether there is a God at all. The Reverend Michael Bourne wrote about a man who asked that very question as a result of his experiences in World War I in his book The One Big Question. Let me read to you a section of it. If you'd been in the trenches in the First World War, you wouldn't believe in God either, said a man called Jim, who always avoided contact with me as rector of the parish, although his wife was a lovely Christian and member of our church. She had told me that he said those words repeatedly. Now he had accidentally bumped into me. The words came out like a recorded announcement on a train. Jim, I said to him, I have seen a great many photographic records, read many first-hand accounts. I've seen the reconstructions in the Imperial War Museum making me hurry outside before I was sick. But surely, I said to him, the war should have made you cease to believe in man, not God. The year was 1968, half a century after the war that scarred him so deeply had ended, and the block against God had been in Jim's ears all that time. To his wife's delight and mine, Jim could see the point finally, and he found his faith once more. A moving story. Let us remember today those whose faith has been tested as a result of war, and for those whose faith in God has been completely destroyed. An American general, Omar Bradley, one of the leading figures in World War II, is known to have said, "Ours is a world of nuclear giants and ethical infants. We know more about war than living. We have grasped the mystery of the atom and rejected the Sermon on the Mount." This next hymn by Graham Kendrick begs God to restore our faith, forgive us, and to bring wholeness to our world.
Restore, O Lord, the honor of your name. In works of sovereign power, come shake the earth again, that all may see and come with reverence. Your fame, and in a time revive the church that bears your name. In your anger, Lord, remember mercy, O living God, whose mercy shall outlast the
Also in World War I, a brigade doctor called John McCrae wrote a very famous poem following the death of his close friend, Lieutenant Alexis Helmer. McCrae conducted the burial service because the Armley chaplain had been called away on duty that evening. It is believed that after the burial, against the background of a field of poppies, McCrae began the draft for his poem, In Flanders Fields, which we'll hear at the end of this programme. The poppy today remains a universal symbol of bloody death, remembrance, and a defiant rebirth. It carries with it sadness that men can kill on a scale that we must never forget. It takes this little flower to tell us this. It was the field of poppies that helped McRae to give voice to what it was like for him to lose a dear friend. Today, we remember lost friends. This is a song called "He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother," sung by the Hollies. Was supposed to be the war to end all wars, yet World War II followed close on its heels, and yet again millions of people died. Since then, there have been countless numbers of soldiers and civilians caught up in other appalling battles, just as horrendous, too many to name each one. But we remember today all those who've lost their lives and all those who've suffered as a result of conflicts in such countries as Korea, Northern Ireland, the Falklands, the Gulf, Iraq and Afghanistan. And we also pray for all those involved in the present struggles against ISIL in the Middle East and parts of Africa, where many innocent civilians suffer, fleeing for their lives, in grave danger and in terrible conditions. I don't know if you've heard of a singer called Lorena McKennett. She sings a very haunting song called Dante's Prayer, which I first heard as a background to a video tribute to soldiers who'd lost their lives in these more recent wars. Looking at their faces, you can't help but thinking to yourself, what a tragic, senseless waste of life. Why? Life is so very precious. We remember them and we think of their families today, whose minds are still numb with the pain of their loss. The chorus of the song bears these words: "When the night, when the dark night seems endless, please remember me.
When the dark wood fell before me, and all the paths were overgrown, when the breeze of pride say there is no other way, the sorrows of stone. I did not believe because I could not see, though you came to me in the night. When the dawn seemed forever lost, you showed me your love in the light of the stars. Cast your eyes on the ocean, cast your soul to the sea, where my dark night seems endless, please remember me. When the mountain rose before me, by the deep well of desire, from the fountain of forgiveness, the ice and the fire. Cast your eyes on the ocean. Cast your soul to the sea. When the dark night seems endless, please remember me.
A German artist called Kath Kollwitz, one of the best interpreters of deep maternal sympathy, once said, "Where do all the women who have watched so carefully over the lives of their beloved children get the heroism to send them to face the cannon?" Right from birth, a mother watches faithfully over a child through each step he takes in life to nurture him and protect him, only to have him snatched away when he's barely reached manhood, to respond to the call of war and all the horrors that will overwhelm him. The same can now be said of women as some of them take up the call to arms. But how many mothers' hearts have been utterly torn apart throughout the world because of war? I remember one mother some years ago saying to me, as she waited for news of her son, who was an officer in the army, she said, "It's extremely hard. I watch the all-day news every single hour, on the hour, for the first 4 to 5 minutes, just to hear if any of our lads have been killed. I watch the main news too, and if I wake up in the middle of the night, I wander through here into the lounge, and I just put the news on. If you hear that any of our lads have been killed, you sit and you wait for the doorbell to ring." I also remember the words of a girl I knew who'd just been married to a soldier who was ready and waiting to be sent off to fight. And her words were, "We banned the news in our house, and I'm really frightened because basically it's getting worse. I keep telling myself he's not going to have to go. I'm in denial." It's at times like this that praying kicks in for real. Our next song is a prayer that God will not desert us or give up hope in us as a human race, that he'll be our hope and our shelter for years to come. Not even the most seasoned serviceman was prepared for the scale of carnage that unfolded before him. For many, the horror proved too much. Hundreds were unable to cope with the constant bombardment, the wholesale slaughter, the unsanitary conditions of the trenches, the constant fear of death, the threat of gas, the lice, the diseases and the cold. Bear in mind that more efficient and sophisticated weapons have been developed since then, which make today's so-called theatre of war even more terrifying. Today, I want us to remember those who simply weren't cut out for what they signed up to. Many simply ran away, they were out of their minds. British and Commonwealth Military Command during this war executed 306 of their own men on charges of cowardice, and mostly for desertion. They were shot because it was thought that they'd brought shame on their country and let down their fellow soldiers. They had to be made an example of, so much so that nearly a century on, their names still don't appear on war memorials. These are the forgotten, the nameless. Some of them were only 16 and 17, lads who had lied that they were older so they could join up. This is what one such young man, accused of deserting, wrote to his mother shortly before his death by firing squad. "It's going to be all right, Mum. All I did was run into a barn to get out of the cold. I have to face a court tomorrow, but don't worry, I'll be fine." Relatives and supporters of the executed men fought to win them a posthumous pardon. They shot at dawn campaign, claimed that the soldiers were blameless because it was severe psychological trauma, not cowardice, that rendered them physically unable to cope with the shocking scenes they had witnessed. I often wonder how soldiers cope on their return to normal life after war. But not one of the soldiers executed then would be shot today. The military death penalty was outlawed in 1930, and in November 2006, those who were executed were pardoned, removing the stigma their families suffered for years. War poetry moves me deeply. The idea for my next song was one I took from the poem Suicide in the Trenches by Siegfried Sassoon. In it, a young soldier in mental anguish and combat stress is unable to cope with the hell he finds himself in, and he takes his own life.
I knew a simple soldier boy who grinned at life in empty joy, slept soundly through the lonesome dark and whistled early with the lark, and whistled early with the trenches cowed and glum, with crumbs and lice and lack of rum, he put a bullet through his brain. No one spoke of him again. No one spoke of him again. Smug-faced crowds with kindling eye, who cheer when soldier lads march by, sneak home and pray you'll never know the hell where youth and laughter go. The hell where youth and laughter go.
Today we pray for and remember all those who still remain casualties of war throughout the world, those whose lives will never be the same again, and we pray for their peace of mind. And we pray for and remember those still in action at this very moment in time. Let us also remember to pray for our enemies, because Jesus invited us to do so. Let's remember that every single person who suffers or dies as a result of war is someone's precious child, husband or father. Let us remember that to them, we are the tyrants, the ones their families are afraid of. Let us also remember this day all civilians affected by war. Once it was the case that 9 out of 10 victims of war were soldiers. Now that is quite the opposite. 9 out of 10 are believed to be civilians. Still, millions of innocent people are homeless and live in exile through war. Many have been humiliated and abused, imprisoned and tortured, their families killed before their eyes. Today we remember them and pray that God will have mercy on our broken and divided world, that all races and peoples may one day learn to live as members of one family. So why doesn't God stop the madness of war is a question often asked. Reverend Michael Bourne, whom I mentioned earlier, once said, "We either have a world of total control or a world where humans are given their freedom. The fact that free will can be so abused, as well as so wonderfully used, is part of the consequence." Our gospel reading today is all about that same free will, which calls us to choose which path each of us will take as we walk into the future, just like those fishermen. We must decide who it is we follow. Jesus' words, "Repent and believe the good news," still echo to us down corridors of time. This is Sheila Hamill. Thank you for allowing me to share my thoughts with you today. My thanks to Andrew Ridgwick for his help in bringing you this programme. I do hope you'll join us both next week. So let us return to John McCrae's famous poem, "In Flanders Field." We finish with that today. Bye for now.
In Flanders fields the poppies blow, between the crosses row on row, that mark our place. And in the sky the lark still bravely singing flies, scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved.